Welcome to Tough Talk Christian Radio. Tough Talk Christian Radio is for those who want to share and receive expressions of faith that will help take you to the next step in your relationship with Christ. Tough Talk Christian Radio is brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. Now here's your host, Tony Gambone.
All right, welcome to the show. My name is Tony Gambone, and it's Thursday morning, 9 a.m. Central Time, here in Houston, Texas, and we're coming to you live from the Tough Talk Radio Network studios. Always excited about Thursday morning shows because I get to help spread the word of the Lord and, to be able to have conversation with people that are telling their journeys in life, their walk, how they've overcome adversities, how they've met challenges, and how they have dealt with things and allowed themselves to lean into to God and just have faith. And, you know, it's really hard sometimes to have that faith on a consistent basis. You know, unless we can see the proof, a lot of us don't want to participate in the process. And it's understandable, but at the same time, it's kind of difficult to get results from something unless you're willing to go first with it. So as a comparison, if you wanted to be an athlete, if you wanted to be a superstar athlete or just an athlete in general, you would have to, one, participate in the sport. You would, one, have to practice the sport. You would have to have the faith that you can do it, and it would take a lot of hard work. Well, finding hope and having faith and believing in the Lord and allowing things to take place works the same way. Okay, you got to kind of go first. You got to have faith. You got to have trust. You got to be willing to work hard at it, and you got to be willing to take what comes along on that daily journey. It's not going to be all roses and chocolates. Okay, it just isn't. That's not the way life is. But it will be more rewarding than any box of chocolates or dozen of roses could ever bring you. So I want to talk a little bit today about hope. It was something that I was speaking with my first guest before the show, and so I just want to touch on it a little bit. I know that there's times in my life where, I don't know if my hope is where it's supposed to be, right? I mean, we're always hoping for a lot of things, but are they the right things? And that's always a difficult thing, right? So for me, I'm hoping that this week, everyone that's listening to the show will take some notes and take some steps to being better at who they are and what they do and with the challenges that they have. So a lot of times, it might just be a health challenge. It might be a relationship challenge. It might just be a self challenge. But a challenge is a challenge, right? And hope is hope. And every day I know that we're all out there hoping that we get whatever it is that we're wishing, whether we deserve it or not. We're always hoping for something. But are you going about it the right way? I don't know. Is there a right way? I kind of think so. And I think everybody knows that there's a right and a wrong. Do we follow it? I don't know. I'll tell you, I listened to the Republican debate last night on television. And I don't usually do that because it just gets annoying after a while. But I listened to a group of people going on and on and on and on. And at the end of it all, I knew nothing more than I knew before. I knew some of the people agitated me more than I thought. I don't know how they're going to solve all the problems, but I know that they were hoping to get elected. And I know that the people, the millions of people that were watching it, were hoping to hear something that would allow them to know who they were going to elect. And it's very difficult, and I don't know if you ever sorted out our world's in a bad place, and it gets worse every day, but I think it's because we allow it. And I think that a lot of us think, myself included, that there's not much we can do as an individual. And I think that's where we're wrong. I think if we all take a half a step every day in the right direction, before you know it, we'll be in the path of rightness. You know, just like if we take a half a step in the wrong direction every day, we'll be in that wrong place. But it's a matter of time before we get to where we're going to go, whether it's in the cloud, as they say in the internet, or in the dirt down deep, okay? I mean, it's just a matter of time. And along that journey of time, there's choices that you need to make that's going to help you get to where you want to go. Now, we all want to go up there, riding a big cloud, you know, in the gates of heaven. We all want that. We all want that afterlife of a spectacularness, if that's even the correct way to say it. But what are you willing to do to go there? Are you willing to live a certain way here to get there? Now, there's a lot of misconceptions. There's a lot of ways to read into things. So I don't know if it's all just simple to understand. Matter of fact, I know it's not. Even if you have a master's in theology, you're still going to have some difficult times. But the important part is to have faith and have hope that you can continue to do the best you can every day with what you have. And I don't think God wants us to do more than that. I think he wants us to strive really hard to do the best we can every day with what we have. So I just hope that everyone out there today just takes a second and stop and just think about, are you doing the best you can today with what you have? Okay, and if your answer is no, figure out what it is you need to do better. If you're listening to the show, I'm sure you're following the Lord already, or you know, you've given your life to the Lord. If you haven't, go to a church near you and look into doing that. Just stop and talk to God. If you've already given your life to Christ, and you know, we always get nudged off the path. Get back on the path. Go to your local church. Go to the church home that you were going to before. Talk to some of the people that you know are like-minded. Get the help you need, okay? It's not going to just knock on your door and show up. You need to take steps. You know, you can pray some more. Unless you move your feet, all you're doing is killing time praying. So, anyway, I hope that people will look at this rest of 2015 and know, like you're going into the fourth quarter of the season. It's just like football season just started. You're going into the fourth quarter. You can win the game if you participate and play by the rules. If you allow yourself to keep your eye on the field ahead of you, know what you need to do, and just do it. Just do it. And know that it's not going to be difficult. It's not going to be easy. It's going to be very difficult. Satan likes to come and steal your joy. So just know when you're out there, just like that football team is facing 11 other players who are trying to get that football. So that's what it's going to feel like sometimes. 11 people are pounding on you to get the football out of your hands, and you got to hold on as tight as you can. As long as you lean into God and give it to him, you'll be successful. You'll not only score a touchdown, you might even hit the Super Bowl, who knows, and win the big one. So, okay, I want to talk about my show today. I just hope that everyone will take time out to just stop and think about what it is in their life that they're doing. Do they have faith in the process? Do they, you know, do they have the Lord in front of them? Do they have the hope that they'll get the help they need? What is it where's your struggle? Take time and learn that, okay? Anyway, I got a great show lined up. I always feel as though I have a great show lined up, maybe because it's my show. But if you have your own show, you can say that, right? Anyway, two great guests. Elizabeth Upton, who's written a couple books. Her latest book is Secrets of a Nun. It's her own story. And my second guest is a gentleman by the name of Donnie Pitts, who wrote a book, The Lamb and the Dragon. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a commercial break. We're going to come back and we're going to bring up my first guest and learn all about this book, Secrets of a Nun. Now, I know I grew up and went to Catholic school when I was a child. Not for very long. I wasn't a good student, so they kind of made me go to public school. But the fact of the matter is, I don't know if you know what a nun has to do. If you don't go to a Catholic school, if you're not very versed in the religions, it's a different lifestyle. Anyway, so we're going to learn about that. I want to make sure that everyone knows how to find us. 347-989-1363 if you want to listen to the show by phone. You can go on to toughtalkradionetwork.com and find the show there. You can click on toughtalkchristianradio.com and find the show there. You can email me, Tony, at TonyGambone.com if you have questions for the show. If you want to call in and ask questions, it's 347-989-1363. Press the number 1. We hope that you'll stay tuned, get that coffee cup filled up, get a bottle of water, get some paper to write notes, and we'll be right back right after this break.
Lauren Jano is an elite, international certified, high-performance coach, author, and speaker with over 15 years' experience helping clients transform so that they are living bolder, happier, and more successful lives. Through a combination of her world-class coaching program and exclusive assessments, her mission is to get to the crux of your issues quickly and accurately, and then guide you to achieve sustained and higher levels of clarity, joy, energy, connection, influence, and overall performance in every area of your life. To learn more or to contact Lauren, go to laurenjano.com.
Did you know that an estimated 52 million Americans listened to internet radio in the last month, or that weekly internet radio audience has increased 60% over the last year, and that more than 8 in 10 people are online from any location? Tough Talk Radio Network is a company dedicated to providing a platform that allows opportunities for guests, hosts, and sponsors to market themselves through the internet radio medium where they can be heard by millions. To find out how Tough Talk Radio Network can help you, go to toughtalkradionetwork.com.
All right, welcome back to the show. My name is Tony Gambone, and this is Tough Talk Christian Radio, and we're coming to you from Houston, Texas, from the Tough Talk Radio Network studios. So we're real excited today about our guest. My first guest is a lady by the name of Elizabeth Upton. She's out of the California area. She's written a book, The Secrets of a Nun. That's one of the books she's written and one we're going to be talking about today. And, she was a college instructor in the Department of Psychology at San Anita College and at UCLA. Her motivational lectures concentrate on the realm of self-esteem, goodness, and overcoming stress, and the development of the spiritual and creative self. So I don't want to waste any more time. I want to get Elizabeth up on the show. Elizabeth, welcome to the show.
My pleasure, definitely.
Okay, so Elizabeth, before we jump into The Secrets of a Nun, because I've been wanting to know more about that, let's talk about, I know that you told me you're calling in from California. Where are you from originally?
Los Angeles, California.
So you've been there all your life?
No, I haven't, because when I was a young girl, that's when I joined a convent. I left California to go to New York State. So, and I was there around 20 years, and I've come back.
Okay, so, you know, Secrets of a Nun. I mentioned that I think I was in third or fourth grade when my mother put me in public school. I just seemed to have trouble behaving, but when people look, you know, and I'm 59 years old, so I'm going way back, okay, but, you know, people looked at nuns, they thought, well, they weren't very nice, you know. Of course, I had some, I've had the pleasure of meeting nuns that were very nice, but there was a stigma there for a while, for me, anyway, as a young child, probably because I was bad and they had to do their job, but I mean, how do you make that decision at the age of 15 to go and become a nun and give up? Well, in today's world, they would think you're giving up everything, but pretty close to everything, right?
Right. It, what is very interesting about what you just said is it's like, you know, with athletes, if they want to be in the Olympic track team, as I was aspiring to do, it's a dream, and it's an ideal, and obviously to become a nun is to be involved in the love of Christ, to be involved in giving service. And I think something clicked in my mind that it was far better to help people than to be a track star. It was far more important to give hope and encouragement, and that's why at this tender age, I did decide to become a nun, and I really do believe that it started when I was 8 years old, because my sister and I, we were abandoned. We were put into an orphanage for 2 years, and I was in an environment of suffering children. I was in an environment of children who cried, who didn't have their parents, who had nobody. And I think the seeds of trying to help people started when I was that young, and then it manifested when I was 15, on the verge of 16, and decided to give my life to God as a nun and to help people. I thought it was the best way to do it. And, of course, you don't know at that age all that it will involve, just like marriage. You get into marriage and relationships, and you don't have an idea, or you kind of do, but you really don't. And you go through many passages of life. So this is what happened to me when I became a nun in the New York area, and I was treated not as a child, because I made an adult decision. And because I made an adult decision, they treated me as a young adult. But I was really very young. And so I grew into womanhood. I grew up in this amazing environment of prayer and sacrifice. And so that was the beginnings of my life as a young woman or young girl who grew into womanhood as a nun.
Yeah, so interesting, because, I mean, it's obvious you have a serving heart, and from what happened to you as a child, that's what you decided you wanted to do, and that probably helped you get through those periods of time as a child that you were going through those experiences. And you wanted to be an athlete, and if you were to go away to train to be an athlete, I mean, it's kind of like it's along the same lines of devotion anyway, commitment.
Yes. It is. And also what is very interesting is it's very much like the military, too. When you think young men going into the military, knowing that if they went to war, they will not come back. Think about what that means. But it's the same energy. It's the same idealism. It's founded in faith and hope in different segments of life. But there's a lot in common when you think about it.
Yeah. There's a commitment to have to give up things that you might never be able to do again in your lifetime. And just know that what you're doing is for the right reasons. And in today's world, that seems even difficult to think that anyone would even comprehend that. I watched the generation. I'm 59 years old, and I watch high school students, and I'm thinking, because I have nieces that are still in high school, and I'm thinking, holy cow, that's really got to be difficult as a parent to teach them things that are way, way different now than when I was in high school. And it gets worse every generation. So here's a question for you, Elizabeth. Do you think it's harder now for the Catholic religion to find nuns?
Absolutely. Because years passed, life was different. Catholicism was different in many areas. And in fact, after Pope John the 23rd started his reform in the church, many thousands of nuns, priests, and brothers left because, as I've mentioned in many programs, they thought that their vocation was more elevated, more sanctimonious than that of regular lay people. When the Pope said, hey, everybody's equal, then that's when the disillusionment, broke. So today, yes, I think it is more difficult. They get very few recruits in the United States, and that's why they have many congregations have started what we call like a religious peace corps. Work with us for a year, see if you like it. And then if you do, then we'll see if we will accept you into our convent, into the congregation, and they want them to be educated and to have life, so that when they do come in, they have all their cylinders wired in a very sophisticated way. They know what they're getting into. So in that respect, I would say, I would agree, it is more difficult. And also all the temptations of the world, money, fame, you know, career, all this is pulling at him. But I think the ideal and the desire to give one's life to God in service is a wonderful ideal to aspire to, and there are those who want to do that, and they will live a life of poverty, chastity, and obedience. And so that's what's involved today.
Yeah, I find it interesting because, using myself as an example, I found God again, okay, because I was introduced to him at a very young age, but never paid attention to about 5 years ago when I was in a life-threatening situation. So
yeah.
It's hard to understand how the church difficulties are to recruit, if that's even the right word to use, to get people, women to become nuns and men to become priests because of what they have to give up in life. And most Americans now need proof before they want to do something. And most people who find the Lord are in very life-threatening situations. So I find that very difficult. The new pope that's on board now, he has really seemed to make a difference. He has, I don't know, for lack of better education on the subject, it just seems as though he has a more understanding of the people that are crowding around him and is able to make decisions that it's going to help rebuild the church for the Catholic
Absolutely.
Religion.
And you know what? Pope Francis, he's a social activist. He has a passionate love for poor and middle-class people, people who are struggling. He understands their pain. He is a gift to the church. I call him the spiritual cleaner. He's cleaning out the corruption that has built up for a long time. He's God's gift to the church. I absolutely think he is a remarkable blessing to all people of all religions because of his compassion. I feel if Jesus was here on earth walking, it would be through him. Of course, people can, you know, disagree, but he's a fresh light. He's opening the windows and bringing in fresh air. He's an inspiration to everybody. I understand that he's coming to the United States of America this month. He will be talking before the United Nations. Nuns, priests, everybody will be in attendance and be inspired. We need to be inspired. We're inspired by you because of your transformation and your radio program. So it's inspiration we need because we have all these passages of life. Like in Ecclesiasticus, there's a time to love, a time to dance, and a time to die. And it's people's inspiration. If they can do it, if I could do it, then they can do it. See, that's why I write these books. I wrote this book as a form of inspiration, passages. I grew up, I went through changes, as we all do, and then I made another radical decision to leave. So that's what people love. They need this type of hope. When they look at you, they are hopeful. When they read my book, they feel inspired to move through the difficulties of their life. That's what life is about. We have everything going, love, joy, sorrow, everything.
So when you left the church, well, when you stopped being a nun, how does that work?
You know what? I'll tell you how it works.
Pardon?
It's a divorce. You know, when we are married and if we want to get a divorce, actually it's called an ecclesiastical divorce. I had to get official church papers to dispense me from the vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience. And then I was free to leave. And that was a huge transformation. In some respects, I was educated. I was, I had a lot of smarts. I really knew how to work in the world. But coming as a stranger into my family, that's where all the problems for me began, because I came in as a foreigner. the kids. I was up to the kid, you know, the children's games. I worked in drug centers. So I was a sophisticated person, which was, and I was resented for what I knew and how I came across.
So do you still go to the, do you still go to church at a Catholic church?
No, no, I don't, especially. But it doesn't mean that I lost lost my faith. I've gone
right.
to
no, no, I understand that.
Yeah, you know, interdenominational churches. I love the Dalai Lama. I study, you know, Western and Eastern religions. When I give seminars of all to people of all religions, I encourage them to come from a place of compassion and non-judgment and mercy, to be merciful. And if and if I have a religion of any kind, I try to live the prayer of you know, the Lord is my shepherd, the Lord's prayer,
right.
and the dear prayer of Saint Francis, who said, "Make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love." So if I can do a little bit like that and strive to be a good person. I strive. Maybe I could say I'm a striver. I strive to be a good person.
Well, I think you, I think that you have over-exceeded that area as well. I don't think that you have to have a title in order to qualify to help in others. I'm reading on the back of your book that you spent a lot of years working with troubled teens, abused children. You were a probation officer and a social worker and a family counselor. So you have done a lot of things to help a lot of people. And I don't know of anything other than what I'm seeing in this book is that no matter what your choice is in life, if you decide to go in a different direction, as long as you don't give up your faith or your hope
oh, yeah.
in the Lord, you're still on the right path.
Absolutely. You know what? When I say, thank goodness for faith in God, what I can't imagine my life without hope and faith in God. I would be destroyed. I just can't imagine it. And so the people who don't have this consolation, my heart goes out to them. And that's why I feel Christians' goodness, going to countries, helping people with Ebola, giving their lives, sacrifice, you know, to do good. This means everything. We don't have to preach. All we have to do is to be, you know, to walk in grace, to live in grace and goodness. And then people are, I feel, healed as they are being healed with this marvelous Pope Francis.
Yes. Yeah, I agree with you. Now, you're married, correct?
Yes, Dee Dee, I am.
Okay, so now, this is just an off-the-wall question. This is a Tony question, okay, so bear with me.
Hey,
I'll
go for
When you first met your husband and you told him a little bit about you, did you take a picture of his facial expression? He had to
what
be blown away,
unique,
right?
What a unique question. I've done a lot of many interviews. Yeah. I guess it's always like, whoa, baby.
That's crazy.
Right.
Yeah. That's awesome. So I would really love to have seen that look on, because I'm just sitting here imagining, okay, so I'm having coffee with this pretty young lady and starting to get to know her a little bit. And so what did you do before? I was a nun. What? So
yeah,
that
like,
must.
Whoa.
So
and
that
my
is
husband.
A, that must get a lot of attention when,
well, yeah,
just as much as Secrets of Being a Nun, the title, that is an attention grabber. And that's what you're seeking to do, is to gain attention from people for a long enough period of time for them to understand that they also could have hope in their life.
You know, absolutely. We have a lot of passages in life. It takes courage. It takes faith to move from day to day, depending on what's happening to people. And so when I do write books like this, or when I write anything, it is to say, hey, don't give up hope. Don't give up hope. Find someone or an organization that can help you go through your troubles. And also, hey, how about laughter? Every day that I get up, I thank God for my new day, and then I read the comics, the funnies, because I like to laugh.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it does heal a lot of pains and a lot of problems.
It shifts the energy
really
if you could laugh at yourself, laugh and joy. It moves the energy, and it's wonderful. See, this is what children have, and young people, they're optimistic. They don't know they can't do it. This is the gift of youth. And then when I wrote this new book that'll come out in a couple of weeks, Exuberant Women Don't Age, it's about the exuberance of spirit. So that's what we need, lots of it.
Mm. Now, do you speak to groups of women?
Yes. I speak to anybody.
I would imagine
listen.
that you're able to really communicate with women in a different sense than any other woman that speaks to groups of women because of the life you led for a period of time, the sacrifices that you made, and now coming back into, well, just for lack of a better way to put it, a whole new world, a different world, a world where there were more ways to trip up, I guess you could say, because you're not in the environment that you were before. So it must be easy for them to learn from you and to look up to you for the challenges that you've overcome.
Well, I guess I can say that everybody's experiences are unique and personal to themselves. I do come from a unique experience, I'll give you that. But if I can touch them in some holy, good, graceful way, that means a lot. I would say most do come from curiosity. But once you start talking to groups of men and women, hey, it's all about the connection. Can I connect with you? It's all about the connection. That's what your program is about. It's all about the connection. And that's what I hope to do when I do speak to groups. And that's what I strive to do as an author and writer.
Well, you know, Elizabeth, I'm going to have you back on when the next book comes out because there's a ton of questions. I'm just totally impressed with how you have taken the gift that God gave you at a very, very young age, and if you've used that gift to continually keep giving in one fashion for many years and now in another. So I think a lot of people might say you were a nun and now you're not. What a sin. I would have to say what a blessing, because you have taken that step to another level and you haven't given up what your values were in the beginning. You're still helping others and bringing them to the Lord, but you're doing it in a different direction. And in today's world, this might be what women really need more than anything in the world. So I can't say thank you enough to you for taking time out to be on our show and for writing this book. People can find the book. I want to make some mentions here real quickly. Elizabeth Upton, I'm sorry, .com. You can buy the book on Amazon. Just type in the Google search bar, Secrets of a Nun, and you'll get the website. You'll get the book. Check out the book. If you're out there, men or women, you really need to check out the book. She also has a book called The Shaman and the Mafia. And so that's a book I think you might find a little bit differently. Okay, I don't know, would you call it a fiction or a nonfiction?
Well, it's a novel. It's a fiction book. It's a crime romance book. However, it is a book also of hope. All my books have the theme of hope, no matter what. Through our changes, there's always a bright light in the horizon for us.
Mm, very good. Well, I appreciate it. And if I'd like to ask all my guests this question. If there's one thing that you can tell people for the rest of this year, 2015, what is one thing you can tell them to do that might make their day better?
Oh, are you talking to me?
Yes, ma'am. I'm sorry.
Oh, never give up hope. it seems to be my life theme, that to have faith and to move forward moment to moment. And when you're present in the moment, despair leaves you because there's grace in the moment. Lots of grace. Become like a child, playful and hopeful.
Mm. Well, Elizabeth, I really appreciate your time today, and thank you so much for coming on our show and sharing with everyone, and I hope to have you back soon.
Thank you for your life and for your program. It's been my pleasure.
Okay. Folks, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back with my next guest, a gentleman by the name of Donnie Pitts, who gives God the glory for the inspiration for his first book, The Lamb and the Dragon. So it's an accumulation of 18 years of inspired creative talent. We're going to find out more about Donnie here in just a second. We're going to take a commercial break. Before we go, make sure to go to ElizabethUpton.com. Check out the website. Great story, great book, The Secrets of a Nun, her own story. And I got to tell you, I haven't read through the whole book. I get a lot of books every week from interviews, but I've been paging through, and I keep getting deeper and deeper, because when you think of someone that was a nun and now isn't that curious? Aren't you curious? Check out the book, Secrets of a Nun, by Elizabeth Upton. We'll be right back after this here short break.
Listen to The Legal Eagle and The Coach each Wednesday from noon to 1 p.m. on Tough Talk Radio Network. Leading local and national experts in business will share their keys to success so that our listening audience can be educated and entertained along the way to becoming all they can be. So whether you're new to business or highly experienced, The Legal Eagle and The Coach with hosts David Alterburn and Brian Kaiser is a great radio program for you. For more information, go to LegalEagleAndTheCoachRadio.com.
Do you want to know the secret to building a successful business quickly? It's all about taking action, but not just any action. It takes inspired and consistent action to get profits. Join Michelle Sism, the six-figure results lady, as she asks successful entrepreneurs their profitable secrets every Monday at 2 p.m. Central Time on Take Action, Get Profits with Michelle Sism on the Tough Talk Radio Network. If you're ready to take action and get profits, you can find out more about the show at TakeActionGetProfitsRadio.com.
Did you know that an estimated 52 million Americans listened to internet radio in the last month, or that weekly internet radio audience has increased 60% over the last year, and that more than 8 in 10 people are online from any location? Tough Talk Radio Network is a company dedicated to providing a platform that allows opportunities for guests, hosts, and sponsors to market themselves through the internet radio medium, where they can be heard by millions. To find out how Tough Talk Radio Network can help you, go to toughtalkradionetwork.com.
All right, welcome back to Tough Talk Christian Radio. My name is Tony Gambone. We're coming to you live from Houston, Texas. It's 9 to 10 every Thursday morning, Central Time, here on the Tough Talk Radio Network. So my first guest, Elizabeth Upton, wrote a book called Secrets of a Nun, and it's one of her books. You need to check her out at ElizabethUpton.com. My second guest, as I mentioned, is a gentleman by the name of Donald C. Pitts, who wrote the book The Lamb and the Dragon. Okay, and I'm going to bring him up, and we're going to find out more about him. We know that it says here he was born in Georgia, but let's get the real scoop from Donnie himself. Donnie, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Tony. I'm glad you gave me this opportunity to story and talk about my first novel, The Lamb and the Dragon. I appreciate it.
Well, it's our pleasure. So I want to let the people know a little bit about you first. So I know that it says here in your bio that you were born in Georgia. Where are you calling in from now?
Moultrie, Georgia.
So you're still in Georgia? And it says that you had three brothers and three sisters. You grew up in a family of nine in a house that was not quite big enough to hold nine in a family. So do you think that helped your life or hurt it?
I really think it helped me because, at an early age, I knew that we were financially challenged, but, you know, the family love in a big house like that really overcomes what financial things that you may be short of, you know. And to tell you a funny story, it could get pretty tricky at times with nine people in a house with only three bedrooms and one bathroom. My brothers and I learned that when our sisters would spend too much time in the bathroom getting ready, primping, whatever, we learned a secret how to unlock the door to get them out of there. So, of course, then Daddy would get on the scene and, you know, and straighten everything out. But it got pretty hectic at times.
Now, do all your siblings live by you still?
All your siblings live by you still? Because all your brothers and sisters live by you still?
All of them live pretty close, except for my middle sister. She lives out in Mississippi. In 1992, my twin brother passed away, but everybody else is pretty close.
So, Donnie, let's talk about, I mean, I believe you have pastored a few churches, been a pastor for a period of time now. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. I'm an ordained minister at two different churches. I'm also the assistant to the children's church pastor at the church I attend here in Moultrie, Life Spring Community Church. My wife, Crystal, and I teach the fourth and fifth graders on Wednesdays and Sundays.
So, do you have a 9-to-5 job, or is this what you do 24/7?
Actually, you know, because of my hearing disorder, I was literally became unhireable in 2009. So my work at the church is strictly, you know, volunteer. But I'm so happy that I can do that every day, to go to the church and help out any way I can, you know, on a volunteer basis.
Yeah, well, to me, it's a very rewarding opportunity to do that, and it surely allows you to build a relationship with Christian-minded people and also be a help, because a lot of times just by volunteering, you're there at the right time to help someone where you wouldn't be if you weren't volunteering. So I think that's a really important, just as important role as being in front of the church on the stage. So I thank you for that. Tell me what made you decide to write the book, The Lamb and the Dragon.
Well, I want to take you back to 1986 just for a second. That'll kind of lead up to the book, and you'll see how that's a huge part of my testimony.
Okay.
In January of 1986, just out of nowhere, I had a extreme hearing loss attack episode, and along with that, I had very violent vertigo, you know, dizziness, to the point where I was very nauseated, couldn't stand up, couldn't walk. I didn't know what was going on, Tony. But whatever was happening just laid low for 10 years. Now, in 1995, right after I got saved again for the first time, you know what I mean by that?
Yes, sir.
I immediately became interested in spiritual warfare and had already read half a dozen books on the subject probably at that time. But they were all how-to books, you know, what spiritual warfare is, how to do it, why to do it, when to do it. And I wanted my book to read like a novel. And so I had to develop, you know, my three basic ingredients: plot, setting, and characters. So I began to pray about it and making some notes. And so late 1995, I began writing my book. And it's from the viewpoint of the actual warriors, you might say, the book is basically good versus evil. This Christian army is doing a battle with this demonic army who's trying to take over their city. Now, early 1996, whatever happened to me that day in 1986, 10 years earlier, happened again. And the only thing, at this point, it was every day. And I'm not exaggerating, Tony, there were days when I was very sick, nauseated. I spent most of my days in the bathroom. When that was over, I literally had to crawl to bed to sleep it off. My body was physically worn out. So in, I would say in mid-1996, after seeing about six doctors, I was diagnosed with Meniere's disease, which is a inner ear disorder which affects hearing and balance. And so it was in my heart to finish this book. During that time, some days I might get in front of a computer and maybe just two finger type a dozen words, and that'd be all I could do. So in 2013, well, let me back up. In 2010, I had some very extreme ear surgery in one of my ears, which really helped control the vertigo, even though I still have it some, still have hearing fluctuation, wear hearing aids, got Bluetooth devices for my cell phone. I'm doing all I can to help me. You know, there's no cure. There's things you can do to help you along. So 2013, I finally finished it and got it published. And in 2014, I had my first book signing event here in Moultrie. So because of my hearing disorder, 18 years from start to finish. And, you know, I want my readers to know that what's so important about this book is, number one, no matter what you're going through, you know, no matter if you're older like myself, no matter what sort of disorder or disability you might have, if you'll do what I call, if you'll pray, if you'll pursue, and if you'll persevere, you know, Tony, you can make your dreams come true. I'm a living fact of that. Through God's grace and love to see, you know, he saw me through all the hard times, and he's still helping me on a daily basis deal with my disorder. I'm presently working on a sequel, which I hope will be out next year. There'll be a third book. The Lamb and the Dragon is actually a trilogy. Good versus evil. And in my books, you know, the good guys win. So, and I tell the young people, Tony, let me say this, and then I'll basically, when it comes to movies, books, all we have out there is you know, comic book heroes, vampires, and werewolves. They're not real. However, angels and demons, they are real.
Yeah, amen to that. That's no lie. I have suffered from a disease for 40 years, and actually I believe that 3 years ago the Lord took it from me. It was very challenging for a long, long period of time, so I understand what you went through. I love the fact that you were persistent enough. You know, I like to think that I'm strong-minded. My wife just tells me I'm stubborn, but I just hate to quit, you know, and I think that that's how you understand the Lord's value, is because through your persistence and through your, you know, your perseverance, he's allowed you to accomplish things that are helping others, which is the sign that there is a great God, and, you know, that he is there to help. And you can have hope in doing whatever you want as long as you're willing to work hard at it. And none of it's easy, because the harder you work, the stronger Satan becomes involved with it, and the more you have to persevere and go through. So, man, I'll tell you, Donnie, this is an awesome opportunity for people out there to understand that no matter what, you can make it as long as you're willing to persevere the obstacles that come along. So your health now, it's better?
Yes, it's better. You know, I have my days, and I've learned through the years that stormy weather, cloudy weather, has an effect on my hearing due to the low pressure in the atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
During those times, my hearing is at its worst, and I will have some slight vertigo, but I've learned, you know, the human body can get used to anything. I've learned just to, when I get up in the morning, just pray, thank God, you know, for where I am and what I do have and what I can do through Him, and just take it a day at a time, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm also seeing that you've served for 4 years as a missionary in Honduras. When you get on a plane, how does that affect your ears?
I haven't been on a plane in a while. I don't think after my experience in talking to some doctors, I don't think I could fly this day and age,
uh-huh.
which apparently what's going on out there in the world is maybe a good thing that I can't get on an airplane now.
Yeah, no kidding. That's for sure. That's for sure. And I'm sure there's plenty of work to do right in the area where you're at.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, yeah. So The Lamb and the Dragon, people can find it on your website. And I want to make sure they know that if they go to Donald C. Pitts, P-I-T-T-S, .TateAuthor.com, you can find the book. And so you're working on another book. Now, Don, you know, you were just talking about sitting and being able to type into the computer. Have you tried that, the thing where you can talk into a microphone and it'll dictate out, it'll type out the words for you?
Yeah, that I think it's Dragon Speak or something. I've tried that.
Yeah.
And it works well, but it's really fast as, you know, the human fingers on the keyboard.
Right. Yeah, I didn't like it either. I tried it, but I just couldn't get it. Just didn't seem right. So, okay, so Donnie, tell me, what is it? Do you go out? Are you able to go out and speak to groups of people? I mean, I know you work with children in Bible studies and church classes and stuff like that, church settings. Do you go out and speak to people that are closer to your age? Because if I'm assuming properly, you're around 65?
Not quite, but I'm knocking on the door.
Okay. So, you know, there's a lot of people that get to a certain age group, and especially with so many thousands of boomers becoming boomers every day. Do you go out and speak to them about how they can overcome the adversities that they might run into? You know, when we get to a retirement age, there's a whole new mindset coming along, and what you went through in your world has to be something that's inspiring to others to know that they have the hope to make it through as well.
Exactly. And when I started, I do a lot of speaking engagements, book signings, and, you know, we're not by ourselves. We're not alone. There's people out there all over who are hurting that are really, you know, sometimes just needing to hear what you have to say, as far as you know, praying through, persevering, reaching your goal, you know, and prayer is really the key, you know, and trusting God to get you through. You know, it's so easy to thank God, you know, when you're on the mountaintop, you know what I'm saying. But
yeah,
we should even pray harder when we're down in that valley. That's, you know, when we need Jesus the most. And my preacher told me one time, he said, you know how when you're hurting, how you seem to pray harder and seek God more than ever. That's how we should seek God all the time. You know, there's only two times that we should thank God. That's when we feel like it and when we don't feel like it.
Yeah. Yeah, you have to be as thankful for the bad things as the good things, because when something good comes along, it's real easy to give it to God and say thank you. And like you said, when you need something, it's easy to pray for something that you really want. But you have to recognize that when things don't go your way, it wasn't put on you by the Lord, but it was allowed to happen for you to be in that situation by the Lord so that you can learn the value of where he wants you to go and get there. So I found to be thankful for everything, even though I don't like everything. I have to be thankful for it, because if not, I'm putting a roadblock up to get me down that path of where he wants me to be. So
exactly.
It's hard, though. You know, Donnie, it's really hard, because, you know, we're selfish and we want what we want, and we'd like to get it yesterday. And, you know, we've had years of practice of wanting what we want and wanting it yesterday. So sometimes, I know for myself, I had to get slapped upside the head to make sure I was paying attention. And now I just say, I don't want that slap again. So I'm just going to focus on paying attention. I'm sure that what you've experienced in your life, there's a lot of people that you have talked to that look at you and you can tell in their face and their facial expressions, they've been somewhere along that road where you're at and you're helping them. So for me, I'm just really thankful that you're willing to take what you went through and use it to the better of others.
Yes, that was my initial intention, is, you know, whatever I do, I try to help others, you know. And God will bless us, you know, in what we do, for one reason only, and that's so we can bless others. You know, I don't know if I told you this in my initial email, but I'm a musician. My brothers and I were just sort of born with the gift, and I was in the music business for, you know, roughly 50 years, and you know, Tony, I thought for a long time that was the only gift I had. And so, you know, when I had to get out of the music business because of my hearing disorder, who's to say that God wasn't trying to show me that he gave me other gifts and I needed to turn toward those other gifts, such as writing and teaching.
Yeah.
And so, and you know, at first I got frustrated, didn't understand, but, you know, the bottom line is God knows and we don't know. And every day I just have to remember that and go on and do what I do.
Yeah, I agree with you, Donnie. I went years being very angry at the fact that I had a disabling disease, and now I'm thankful that I had it. And
exactly.
I say had it because I'm not owning it anymore, because God took it from me. But I'm thankful, because I wouldn't be who I am today, and I wouldn't know what I know about the Lord today if it wasn't for that opportunity to have that disease. So, you know, there's a good side to everything. You just got to be willing to pick at it.
Exactly. So, you have to. You know, you hear people say all the time, you can't teach an old dog new tricks, but you can, and I'm a walking example that you can do that.
Amen to that. I hear you. Well, Donnie, we're up against the clock. I really got to get off the air here. I've went over my time period, but, you know, I just enjoyed our conversation. I'm going to have you back on the show. I look forward to seeing the next book come out, and if there's anything that we can do here at Tough Talk, I surely hope that you won't hesitate to reach out to me and let me know. I'd be an honor to help you do anything.
Okay, Tony, I really, really appreciate that, and I really thank you and your staff for allowing me to come on and tell my story, you know, give my testimony, talk about my book. And my prayer is that someone today, this morning, was listening who needed to hear what you and I were discussing.
Well, I know there's one of us that got something out of it, and that's me, Okay. And I know that if I got it, there's a lot more people out there that received it. So, Donnie, thank you for your time today. We look forward to talking to you soon.
Same here, Tony. Thank you.
All right. Okay, folks, we're up against the clock. I don't have time for a recap. I'm just going to tell you to go to ElizabethUpton.com and DonaldCPitts.TateAuthor.com. Buy the books, folks. Understand the value of what these people have created for you. That's our show for today. Tune in next week, same time, 9 a.m. Central Time, Thursday mornings on the Tough Talk Christian Radio.
You have been listening to Tough Talk Christian Radio with Tony Gambone, brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. A special thanks to all of our sponsors. If you'd like to be a sponsor or a guest, please visit toughtalkradionetwork.com for more information.